Welcome to Good Deeds. I'm your host, Nanette Weiser, and with me today is a woman who really needs no introduction. For those of you who love Savor, the Food and Wine Festivals, which is coming to St. Pete again on November 1st and 2nd, Tammy Gale is no stranger to you, but I also want to say that during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Tammy is also a philanthropist, and so welcome, Tammy, to Radio St. Pete.
Thank you for having me, Nanette. It's great to be back.
Well, you wear so many hats, so I want to start off with Savor because, of course, we're so thrilled at Radio St. Pete, and I'm sure St. Pete Life, our friend Nick, is excited as well about being judges. Tell me how Savor got started. Where did it first happen? I used to go to the one in Clearwater. I know you've got them all over the place now. Tell our listeners what Savor is all about.
Absolutely. So many years ago, we were actually a part of South Beach Food and Wine, which is kind of the gold standard of food and wine festivals, and right in our backyard in Florida. And we were a sponsor of that for a few years and really saw how a well-run, well-operated food and wine festival should be handled and how it can grow. And obviously, our area didn't have anything quite like that at the time. And we kicked off with a brand new hotel that was just built in the market at the time, and it was the Hyatt. It was the Hyatt on Clearwater Beach, and the general manager had expressed that he wanted to do an event in front of his hotel on Clearwater Beach. So the opportunity was perfect for us, where we were able to own our own event and really create it the way that we wanted to. I think that the biggest problem with the industry in events is that someone else owns and produces it, and you really have limited ability to do the things that you want to do. And on behalf of our clients, our hands were always tied in somebody else's event the way they wanted to do it. So we really wanted to let our vendors call the shots. And every year we kicked off in Clearwater. We grew so much in Clearwater, which was fantastic. It was a wonderful home, a wonderful start for us. But we grew so much, we literally had no more space on the beach. We couldn't extend because the Clearwater Pier was there, and we couldn't move any farther than where we were. And they were just building Opal Sands, the hotel on the beach. So we were very limited, and we were causing massive gridlock over the bridge. And it wasn't a good scene for anybody, the locals who lived there, the tourists that were coming in for the event, the police. We knew that we had to move into another space. And at the time, the city of St. Pete had actually come to the event to check it out. And really, unbeknownst to us, it was karma. They needed a new event because Ribfest was moving out. They had sunsetted Ribfest, and the next year they would have an opportunity in November to have a new event. So we were their new baby. They welcomed us with open arms. We started off, we moved into North Straub Park, which is right across the street from the fabulous Vinoy Hotel next to the Vinoy Marina. After 3 years, we outgrew that space, and we were able to upgrade into Vinoy Park on the waterfront, and we have a massive space that we have really taken over and infiltrated, and we've got lots of new additions to the event this year, more tents, more vendors, more activations. It's just an amazing, beautiful event in one of the most beautiful areas on the West Coast, as far as I'm concerned. It's at the waterfront on Tampa Bay, and overlooking the pier is spectacular. So we're really, really excited.
It is such a good event that you won Best Food Festival, yay, in the Bay,
yay.
2025 by Creative Loafing Tampa Bay. I mean, Radio St. Pete got Best Radio Station. So
yes.
I feel like our partnership goes hand in hand. How many years have you been in downtown St. Pete? Is this number five or number four?
This is actually six, and next year we have a new, this is five. We go into a new contract on year six to year nine. So we're in increments of 3 years. The city keeps signing contracts with us. They'd like us to stay. We are so welcome there, and it's such a, you know, the area, Nanette. It's spectacular. I call it a big little city because we do a lot of events in big markets. And what I love about St. Pete is it still has that local feel, but it is becoming such an organized and beautiful and cultural market I think that the city, the county, the administrators have done a great job of managing growth, but in a really positive way. And it's home. It really is. It's beautiful. It's safe. We have vendors. You know the event, and your listeners who might not have been there before. The event has a lot of national brand partners, a lot of locals, and a lot of nationals. So we've kind of carved out our niche to be able to satisfy all kinds of tastes on a local level and introducing new talent, highlighting really seasoned talent in the market, and then also having a lot of national brands. And it is literally the kickoff to the holiday season. So we encourage all of our partners to bring their A game and do these incredible activations and really entertain our guests and make it super fun, showcasing decadence. So what is holiday season? It's opulence, it's decadence, it's over the top. We really are part of that scene, and we want that vibe to be represented that way. Although we're in Florida, it is holiday, and we are feeling a little snap of cooler weather, so we're hoping in the next 2 weeks it'll be even cooler when we start out at the beginning of the day. But it's magnificent, and you've got this gorgeous backdrop of Tampa Bay, the bay itself right behind you. We've got cooking. Well, we'll go into all the things that will be happening this year, but there's just so much to enjoy and take in, and I think that's why we were voted best of, is it's different. We don't want to be like every other food and wine festival. We want to have the fingerprints of St. Petersburg and the bay on this event, and it attracts new users, meaning tourism, into the area, and then they go and they seek out these beautiful hotel partners that we work with, as well as the amazing chefs, and we've got a heck of a lineup this year.
Let's talk about Brian Malarkey, folks. We will have the pleasure of interviewing him next week. I mean, this is a big deal. Tell us all about Brian, and how the heck did you get him?
Well, I'll tell you. He is a hoot. You know, you see Food Network chefs and they're on air and that's their thing, and you see that persona. But even, I have not met him, he's based in California, he is coming in for the event. Even by, you know, through emails and interviews, he's a riot. He's a really funny guy. He's got a podcast as well. He's got a massive following outside of just Food Network. And we are super, super excited to have him. So the way that we did connect with Brian is Brian it owns a food product that's on shelf at Publix. It's a cooking oil. He's got a series of different items. It's cooking oil blend made by a chef for people who love to cook. So it's something that's very unique. It's novel. It's high end, and he uses it himself, and he saw, I guess, the opportunity in what was missing in traditional marketplace for people who do like to cook with a cooking oil that, you know, it's the first ingredient in your whatever it is that you're making. You need something good to make, you know, as a foundation. So he created this cooking oil. He loves to cook with it. He's going to be doing food demos with it. He's going to be at his booth doing meet and greets and autograph signings. He's going to be a judge with you on the cooking stage with the culinary chefs competition. So we have him all over the place. He's spread thin, but he's a super good sport, and he's very, very approachable. We have met with other chefs that, you know, have become personas on Food Network, and it's kind of difficult to get close, and this is not that case. So we're hoping that all of our guests go and stop by his booth area, which it's called Chef's Life, and meet him and understand, you know, the cooking process. He's going to be doing some really interesting food presentations also for tasting, and, you know, obviously he wants to showcase his item and let people know what it is and what's out there. And as you're gearing up for holiday season and entertaining and all the good stuff that comes with it, consider that product, because it really is the foundation of everything that we cook as far as savory items. So we're really excited about that. And then another cool chef that will be there is his protege. His protege is Chef Carlos Anthony. And Carlos won Chopped on Food Network. He also has his own restaurant in California, very accomplished chef, and he's also been named by Food Network top 25 of 25. So he's good looking. He's a great chef. He's fun to be around. He works really, really well with Chef Brian. So the two of them will be at the Chef's Life booth and doing meet and greets and autograph signings as well. So, yeah, we have two out-of-market chefs that are coming in that are recognized on TV and a bunch of other chefs.
Joshua Carter, executive chef of Vinoy Restaurants, his Coastal
amazing.
Flavor with Creative Flair, right?
Yeah,
and
amazing.
Then I believe, let's see, I think you also have, executive sous chef Marco Grajeda of Vinoy
yes.
Restaurants, and
exactly.
he will be there as well. And then David Asher, Chef David of Taverna Costale, is going to be set to take the stage. And I love his Gulf-inspired cuisine. You know, what I have to congratulate you about is that you have a diversity of tastes. And if you want to understand food trends, as I do for the Inquisitive Tongue, and we report that, you know, this is a foodie city. These people are coming from California. They're going to be so surprised of what a foodie city we are.
Absolutely.
And we really have become, so I'm doing a story, folks, for Tampa Bay newspapers. Savor's going to be included. It's called The Chic is Back. And really, it's an homage to people like you, Tammy, who have brought this, to our fabulous chefs from downtown to Bel Air, to our fabulous wine people like Slavar on Central. So this event, to me, kicks off an exploration of our city. Go to Savor St. Pete November 1st and 2nd. Enjoy it all. Get your VIP tickets. And then explore St. Pete. And I consider ourselves the West Florida coast. Let's talk a little bit about what else is new this year and also how this benefits a charity.
Absolutely. So I will tie back to your original conversation about it being Breast Cancer Month and being near and dear to my heart because I am also a survivor. This is my 21-year anniversary, and I am very, very proud to be a graduate and alma mater of Moffitt Cancer Center.
Bless their hearts.
Yep. Yeah. They one of the most. I always say in a joking way, but it's really very serious. I couldn't have gotten more lucky to be sick than in this market where such an amazing healthcare facility exists for cancer patients. It's unreal. We're very, very fortunate for those that do live locally and, God forbid, have been diagnosed or will be diagnosed. I can't endorse Moffitt Cancer Center highly enough. It saved my life, and I don't say that lightly. They did save my life. I was diagnosed with breast cancer real quick. I went in for a standard routine lumpectomy. They found more cancer once they went in. And that did not show up on a mammogram, and they didn't know until they were inside my body, taking out the other cancer, that there was more. And I was a young cancer patient at the time. I was 39, and I was a single mom, and with sole custody of my child, and there was no doubt that I knew what I had to do, but it was a wallop because they told me it was really a minor cancer when I was first diagnosed. So, you know, you gear yourself up for that and you're going to get through this and everything's going to be fine. And then they come back to you a day or two later saying, you know, we analyzed your results and you probably, because of your age, will be re-diagnosed in a year or two or in the other side. So I had a bilateral mastectomy, and, you know, I'm just very blessed that it was found so early and that I had the treatment that I had and the doctors that I had. So the pay it forward is always do something when you're given that second chance, and I don't care what it is, you got out of a car accident, whatever, do something nice for someone else. It's your obligation to take that experience and use it in a positive way to help someone get through their time. So we actually 20 years next year it'll be, I started a breast cancer charity and have to date donated $750,000 to women who are uninsured or underinsured for various things, whether it's treatment, lifestyle, they can't afford their mortgage, or they can't afford to take their child to school because they can't drive and we need Ubers. I mean, it's covered everything over the last two decades. Everything that has been asked of us, we have agreed to as a charity partner. Now we've kind of changed gears in the last year on mental health care because especially in the situation that I was in and other women are in, and not only that, but being a single parent, and there are so many single parent households these days going through such a tough time, it's very hard to manage mentally, and you have got to mentally be in the game on anything, you know, that you're going to succeed in. And if we want a positive outcome on the results of your scans and your treatment, you need to be prepared for that, and that you're in for a fight. You know, you're a warrior at this point. And if you're not, and you're not mentally fit for that, you need the proper guidance. So we have been donating funding to Gilda's Club, which there's one in Florida, but they help throughout the entire state with telemed healthcare, mental health care, lifestyle. There's companionship for people that don't, English isn't a first language, and they need other people in their ethnicity with therapists that speak their languages. So they have been a great, great resource with children whose parents are diagnosed, and, you know, in horrible cases where the parent didn't survive, they also provide health care for family members, mental health care. So, and art health care, you know, all kinds of dance therapy, everything you can think of, they have been great with. So it's something that we've overlooked for a long time, but we really wanted to help in that capacity, because mental health is such an important issue these days in healing, physically, mentally, in every way you can think of. So we want to help with that also. And a lot of insurances are not great with mental health care therapy programs, and Gilda's Club does not deny anyone, whether you have health care or not. So that's been another initiative for us. So yeah, I mean, it really drills down for us specifically to community, to helping neighborhoods. We could have donated a lot of money to research, and we understand that, but it takes so much money to do research programs that we felt on a localized level, $750,000 can help a whole lot of families that we can see and touch and hear and get stories from and know that it was effective. So that's the direction that we go in. And God bless every other charity that's out there that helps with breast cancer and with every other type of ailment and cancer and everything you can think of. But, you know, something that is close to your heart, where in this case it was with me, it was very important to help women just mentally get through this, because it's a fight, and it can be an ongoing fight. Mine was a year and 6 surgeries, and, you know, it's rough. And if you don't have the support network that you need, it's very, very difficult to get through by yourself, especially since most of us have never been down this road before. So all of it is brand new, and you need someone to guide you. So that was that. So we are helping. We are donating to Moffitt Cancer Center, which is very much throwing the boomerang out and letting someone else catch it, and then they throw it to someone else. And Moffitt is really great, their foundation, about helping women in every capacity as they're going through their breast cancer journey. So that that's our charity side. We encourage
Well, that's so exciting. So really, when you buy a ticket for Savor St. Pete Food and Wine Festival, you are helping people who are either beginning their journey, in the midst of their journey, or dealing with breast cancer and the aftermath. I think that's just wonderful. Folks, if you've just joined me on Radio St. Pete, I'm talking to Tammy Gale. She is the founder, owner-producer of Savor Food and Wine Festivals, which we are lucky to have for the 5th year in downtown St. Pete on the 1st and the 2nd. Tammy, I know that you're on your way to yet another fundraising event. So before we leave, I want to talk about, you know, there's world-renowned chefs, there's passionate food artisans. If you're a curious epicurean, there are all kinds of spirits and non-alcoholic beverages. What are you seeing as far as trends in culinary exploration this year, and what's new and different?
Well, surprisingly, seafood is taking the spotlight this year, especially in the culinary competition that will be open to the public this year. In past years, it was private and only for the media, and this year, the chefs spoke and we listened, and they wanted their followers, you know, their guests, those that are culinary.
Their fan clubs, right? Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And seafood, obviously, we're in Florida, is a very big commodity.
interestingly, we do another event on the east coast of Florida and South Florida. And this past year in the spring, it was heavy on meat, on red meat. It was steaks. It was all of the finest cuts of beef. And yet here, this time of year, which I would have thought it would have been flipped, where meat, you know, meat dishes would have been really high on people's list, it's way more in seafood and light fare, fresh. Everything is fresh, sustainable. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that too in a minute when you get to your next topic. But we're seeing a lot of seafood, so that's a great thing. But we still have the meats and the chickens, and we have, I think that a big trend is ethnicity, finding more ethnic foods, you know, Latino brands that are Hispanic flair are very, very big. We're working for next year on Indian and Asian brands.
Oh, great. We're going to go into Southeast Asia, becoming very hot, right.
Very hot. So people have a much more curious palate, it seems, which is wonderful, and are really into education. Like, they want to know why. They want to know how. They want to know what the flavors are that they're feeling or tasting or what's on the back end of something. And this is not just in main courses, but it's also in desserts. It's also in appetizers. So I think it's more exciting for chefs because people want to know what spices are in something, or
whether it's harissa or something else, or tajine from Mexico.
Exactly.
The other thing is, you said sustainability. What I'm seeing from your, I was looking through everything in prep for this interview, is that seasonal and sustainable are big key tasting trends. Tell us about that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you on a very localized level. Again, going back to my experience with cancer and understanding the importance of what we put into our bodies.
Food is medicine.
Much higher level than most people realize, that food is medicine, and what you put in comes out, and what you don't put in can create a lot of deficit in our bodies. What we have decided to do is we've been working with the city and the sustainability initiative, even just on our environment, because environmental is extremely important. So for the most part, we're going plastic free, which is, I think, a very, very big step for most event producers, if not all event producers. We are going to be the poster child in the city of St. Pete, and we are going to work with the city and the Sierra Club to create a food audit and see just how much is going to the dump, and what we're creating or what we can prevent from creating, and then in future years have composting availability at the event to go back to the earth, to go back to our local farmers, so that we're creating the cycle of health as opposed to creating the problem. It's a first. It's something we asked if we can be a prototype and create this process and this program to be kind of to set the standard and raise the bar for other event producers that do come into the area, and kind of encourage that they follow suit, no matter how big or small they are, that they do something and they leave no footprints. And that's what our goal is, to leave no footprint. So environmental sustainability is extremely important. We're working with an awesome new company called Matter Compostables, where our plates, our cups, our garbage bags are going to be compostable from plants.
At this event?
At the event, yeah.
Wow.
For the first time ever, yep. So we are really excited to, you know, it's a first step for us. We're not saying we're going to do everything right, and we know what we're doing right out of the gate. We're trying this, but we're making an effort to make a difference. And obviously, an event like this does create a lot of trash. We want to make sure that, again, we're leaving the smallest footprint that we can, and we're doing something to help the city, not harm the city. So, and again, hopefully we can be the prototype, and that others will follow suit, and all the events and all the event producers will take our lead and do the same thing. And this is a challenge to all the big events that are out there that are creating, you know, have food and have waste and are selling soft drinks and things like that. see what you can do to circumvent the plastics and creating more of a problem in our landfills than we already have, because it's bad. And it's going not to affect only us, but our kids and our grandkids. And it's something you really need to think about.
Well, Tammy, thank you so much for joining us. We're looking forward to talking to Chef Brian Malarkey, who I interviewed many years ago in San Diego when he first got started.
You'll
so it's
love
kind
him.
Of like, oh, I do love him, and I've written about him for all kinds of places. But I want to say, folks, Savor St. Pete Food and Wine Festival, we're going to have all of the information in our online on-air magazine. I want you to go to savortheburg.com. And, Tammy, I want to thank you again for helping us as a philanthropist, helping the city define itself as a foodie location. And we look forward to seeing you on November 1st and 2nd at what I consider the signature kickoff event for the holiday season. Parting words for our listeners and why they need to join us.
Come hungry, come thirsty. Invest in a VIP ticket. It is well worth the money, and it actually is a really great deal. You will not be disappointed. We are so excited to have everybody come out and join us. It's the greatest party in St. Pete. You're going to have a blast. And thank you so much, Nanette, for the opportunity to promote it.
Dress to Impress, Savor St. Pete Food and Wine Festival. Tammy Gale, thank you so much. For Radio St. Pete, I'm your host, Nanette Weiser. Remember, folks, this event, Savor St. Pete, supports Moffitt. So you're not only eating well, you're doing a good deed. Thanks, Tammy. See you soon.
Thank you, Nanette. Bye-bye. See you next